So, good morning. Thank you for joining us for our June meeting of the Chicagoland Office 365 Adoption User Group. Just kind of a real brief thing, our goal and our purpose for this group is to share experiences and help each other through the launch and adoption of Office 365 and related products, applications, features, etc. You know, as we know, Office 365 is a huge suite of products, and not everybody does it all at once. So whichever part you're doing, we're trying to support and help with that adoption to make it, you know, share our own experiences and some expertise from different people that we have as speakers and as members to try to make that as smooth as possible. So that's sort of our mission statement. We do not relate only to technical people. We have some technical talks. We also have talks on things like training, corporate communications. So we try to hit the whole range to make sure that we're covering all parts of adoption, not just how do I install and set up my Active Directory, right? Because that's the technical part. That doesn't really drive the adoption. So with that, we meet six times a year, unless there's some special events like we had last month, where we actually had a viewing party for the Microsoft Summit, and Michael's going to talk more about that in a few moments. But we try to meet every 2 months, and we alternate between somewhere in the city and somewhere in the suburbs. So hopefully we can hit everybody, and you can at least attend all the ones in either of those venues. So today, and we'll get more into this later, we'd like to thank SPR Consulting for hosting us this morning and providing the refreshments, and also being our speaker for this today. And again, we'll talk more about that in a little bit. So to start out with, we're going to start out with some introductions just so we can all kind of break the ice and find out where you're at. Then Michael is going to talk about news and announcements, along with Larry, who's going to have some new and exciting things that Microsoft just brought out last week, I think, right? Was that when it launched, Larry?
Yeah.
And then Sean Lawrence, again from SPR, is going to talk about OneDrive. And then we'll have our open discussion. That's kind of my favorite part of it, although I do love the speakers, too. All right, so.
Hi, I'm Michael Blumenthal. I am an Office 365 MVP. That's a designation from Microsoft recognizing my community contributions. And I also am the principal Office 365 engineer, or the Office 365 guy, at a local media company. Larry?
Yep, so I'm Larry Kuhn. I'm an account technology strategist with Microsoft here locally in Chicago. We work with one of our large enterprise customers in the suburbs. And have a bit of background here from the offices.
Michael Scully isn't here today. He's our other Microsoft rep that's part of our organization, our leadership for the group. My name is Rich Splut. I work for a company called Healthcare Service Corporation, also known as Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois. I am a senior technical, infrastructure engineer. I think we just had a change of title, so I think that's my new title, right? Frank, it sounds about right.
Yeah.
My responsibilities are really about kind of the whole Office 365 suite from a governance, engineering, rollout perspective. When we did make the transition, I worked as one of the leads in the user adoption and user experience. So that's where my background, and my other background is in technical training. So it was a nice transition for me. I'm going to let Michael come up and talk about our meetup milestones and news and announcements.
Okay. So the first one, our meetup milestone, is simply self-congratulatory, which is that we now have over 200 members in our meetup. So if you go to meetup.com in our group, we've got 200 members, and we've grown from zero, how many?
Five of us.
Yeah, three years ago to 200 now, and hopefully that means that we get more people actually attending the meetings as well. From there, I'll move on to news. Oh, one thing we want to mention about Meetup, though. Rich?
Yeah. If you have registered, we really do appreciate that, and please encourage other people to register. Please include your last names. As we start to move to different venues, like here, they get a kind of, they need to have first and last names because they check ID. So when we print out the list, if it just says Sue, or Renee, I think you were one of them, and Jay, I think you were one of our others that just didn't have a last name. So please go back and edit your profile and just put a last name in.
Yeah, and the QR code for and the short link to the meetup page is right there on the wall. So moving on to news. Every time we meet, we like to review some of the news in Office 365 news for the last month to 2 months. This news is more recent, but it's pretty recent. I'm going to talk about the announcements made at SharePoint Summit, SharePoint Virtual Summit, which was May 16th, so it's only about 2 weeks old. And then after that, Larry's going to talk about the content pack, for the user adoption content pack that was finally released. So how many of you attended our viewing party for SharePoint Summit? And how many of you watched from your desk? And how many of you didn't go at all? So of those of you who watched it, how much do you remember of it? Okay, so this recap will hopefully help those of you who've forgotten most of what you saw, as well as those who didn't have a chance to watch it. So there were four major themes of this announcement cycle, and those themes were sharing of confidence, transforming business processes, informing and engaging employees, and harnessing collective knowledge. And for each of those four points, they had a number of roadmap announcements they made for two different time periods. First was things that are coming soon, which are going to be released at this point this month or next month, and things that are going to be coming at the end of by the end of the year. So for Share with Confidence, they announced a number of things coming soon. OneDrive Files on Demand. OneDrive Files on Demand is about having all of your OneDrive files available to you at any point, but not necessarily having the file there. So this goes back to the notion of placeholders and file stubs. Right now with Selective Sync, if you are syncing OneDrive files or SharePoint files to your local machine, you choose only to sync certain folders. You only see, when you're looking in Windows Explorer or Mac Finder, you only see the files that you've chosen to sync. And then you'd have to go back, and if you want to see what else is there, you'd have to go back to choosing what files to, what folders to sync. You only see the things that you chose to sync. With OneDrive Files on Demand, you actually see all the stubs of all the files, but those things are just stubs. They don't take up any space until you say, I want this file or this folder locally, and then we'll download those and keep the local copy in sync with the server copy. So that makes it much easier for you to see what you actually have in OneDrive and be able to see all of it at any time. Likewise, another innovation in the OneDrive space is the file sharing experience. So if you go to the OneDrive website, your OneDrive for Business website, and go to share a file, there's a certain user experience to go through. Right now, if you go to Windows Explorer or Mac Finder, and want to share a file that's synced that's synced using the sync client, and you go to share, you're going to be taken back to the website to share. Coming soon is the ability to have that same file sharing experience in Mac Finder, in Windows Explorer, as you get on the website. So that will make sharing better, and that the user experience that they do in all those places, they're updating, so it's easier to understand who you're sharing with, what permissions you're giving, and also if you want to put an expiration on that sharing. And then there'll also be some expanded admin controls for that as well. So in Sharing for Confidence, those are the coming soon things. By year end, which will be a calendar year end, they're promising a flow integration with OneDrive, and that existing SharePoint sites you'll be able to turn those into groups, and then you'll also be able to put a SharePoint page or expose a SharePoint page in Microsoft Teams as a tab. Moving on to the Transform Business Process Roadmap, they announced that coming soon, Power Apps forms can become list forms in SharePoint. Between that and Flow, they're delivering on the promise finally of having an alternative, a first-party alternative to InfoPath and SharePoint Designer. Also, the Power Apps connecting to SharePoint will give a more complete experience in terms of different kinds of SharePoint fields that are supported. The full set of fields will be supported coming soon. And then list and library web parts for the modern SharePoint pages, those responsive pages, will be available. So the number of web parts available for modern pages is expanding with these two key kinds of web parts, and we'll see more of those web parts by the year end, including a Power Apps web part. So you can have a Power Apps form and expose that in a SharePoint, in a modern SharePoint page by dropping in as a web part. They also promise by year end simple document approval workflows. So if you need to get someone to review a document, there's an easy flow-based workflow for that. And they introduced the approval center for document flows so that a person can go to Flow and see all the approvals that they have waiting for them. And then more intelligent indexing for large lists.
Michael, before you move on.
Okay.
That list. One thing I just wanted to interject, this is actually news that came out after SharePoint event related to modern pages. So if you use managed metadata or advanced metadata for filtering on document libraries, that was a capability that was only available in classic pages up to this point. There was a blog post just earlier this week from the SharePoint team that they've brought that filtering capability to the modern pages in modern document libraries. So I know for some of the larger enterprise customers, using managed metadata to tag documents and allow for filtering is something a lot of them were taking advantage of. So it's good to see even more innovation beyond what was announced at the event.
So moving on to inform and engage employees, one of the biggest announcements is in this category, and that is communication sites, which are really the next generation of publishing sites. With communication sites, they address the same business challenge that publishing sites addressed, but in new and modern and responsive and mobile-friendly way. So if you think of the two major use cases for SharePoint sites, you have team collaboration and you have what I call employer-to-employee communication, which is where a company or a department wants to be able to publish information to all the employees. And up until this announcement, the publishing sites that existed that had come from on-premise were not mobile-friendly, were not responsive. Now with these communication sites, you get not only mobile responsive web pages, but you got that same kind of publishing and branding capabilities. And they also introduced multi-column page layouts, but you can do that section by section. So as you create content in a new modern page experience, you can say, okay, this section has two columns or three columns or so forth. And it gives you a much richer, again, very end-user friendly way to create content so that departments can publish content to the organization without needing IT to get involved. And so that really is a big move, a big step forward with publishing or communication style sites. I also announced the people cards on SharePoint Home, which is a richer user experience when you hover over a person's name, and then an improvement to the SharePoint app for Windows 10 Mobile. Does anyone here care about Windows 10 Mobile?
Actually, I would like to understand that. How is that different from, we're doing Windows 10 as well, so.
Windows 10 on your phones
or desktop? Is that just
the
device? Is that what we're talking about?
Mobile is Windows Phone.
Anybody have a Windows Phone?
I was like, wait a minute, Windows 10, hang on.
Right here.
Oh, yeah, well, okay. You're special, Ed.
I'm the god.
Yeah.
So you're one of the three people that bought one of those.
Okay. By year end, we're going to have, integration between SharePoint and Teams, where you can display SharePoint pages inside Microsoft Teams. We're going to have a better site usage page and more web parts for publishing content in modern pages. And then some of this value is going to accrue back to on-premise. And then you'll also be able to author news in the SharePoint app on Android. And finally, the Harnessing Collective Knowledge Roadmap. The coming soon announcements were improvements in the search experience for Delve, being able to find people by skills and interest, again, key for knowledge management. Connectors, this idea of Office 365 connectors, these components that let you bring in other content from other systems, whether it's you want to see tweets in your team or be able to just connect with other systems. That capability was showing up in other parts of Office 365 will be coming to Yammer. Group membership can be dynamic in Yammer. And you'll also be able to put videos in Yammer from Stream and Office 365 Video. A note about Office 365 Video and Stream, those two offerings are coming together and will be eventually combined into one offering. Personalized search by year end, also showing up on SharePoint Home. Yammer integration with coming in with communication sites, it'll be easy to embed a Yammer feed on a communication and a SharePoint page in a communication site, and then new Yammer apps for iPod, iPad, and desktop. At this point, I want to turn it over to Larry so he can talk about the adoption content pack that was just released.
Yeah, so we've talked about in meetings past how it's important to understand which services are being used throughout your organization and by whom. So the Office 365 administration center within the portal there that's accessible to global administrators and then delegated administrators of your Office 365 tenant. They've been able to see some of this information themselves, but what happens, especially in really large organizations, is that the people who are outside of those very closely held roles, those are the people who really need to see the adoption information. So it's good information, but it was kind of locked up and hidden away where it wasn't easily accessible. So to address that, the Office 365 adoption content pack for Power BI has been released. The really nice thing about, if you know anything about Power BI, is you can create dashboards and then share them with other people in your organization. So what this allows is for somebody who's got that global administrator role, they can go ahead and share and install the content pack, get it configured, and what that configuration step does is it establishes a connection between the usage data that's in your portal and Power BI, and then populates the dashboard with data, and then you can share the dashboard to other users in your organization. So like I said, it's great for executives, you know, executive sponsor, you know, somebody wants to see what the, you know, are we getting the value out of this big investment we made? And then, you know, procurement teams, same thing, help desk, they want to see, hey, maybe there's a new office that just went online and, you know, users are starting to use SharePoint very heavily in that new office, and that can help them kind of maybe adjust their staffing levels and so forth on the help desk. So very powerful tool from that perspective. I have a link here. This will be published with the material afterwards with a blog post announcement. And Then this short link takes you to a group inside the Microsoft tech community. And we've put in some plugs for this in past meetings, but I just want to plug it again. The Microsoft tech community has sections on it, little areas of discussion forums and blogs related to each of the service areas within Office 365. So this particular short link will take is a deep link into a community location specifically about discussing the content pack, and it's a small, very agile team that's developed the content pack, and they're on that forum interacting with users, taking direct feedback into enhancing the content pack. So Last plug there for that small team is they're going to run an Ask Me Anything session. If you've ever used Reddit or anything like that, you might know how that works, right? Is there's a designated time when people would be there to take and answer questions from the community. So that's coming up June 7th. So just a few blurry screenshots. I'm not going to go through this in a whole lot of depth. That blog post that I mentioned before has a link to a Microsoft Mechanics video where there's a great, you know, hands-on run-through and demo of what the Power Pack could do. It's a little difficult for me to demo it because my demo tenant has 25 users who are all fake, so there's no real usage in my tenant. So demoing the power of the Power Pack or a content pack is a little difficult, so watch that video. But these screenshots give you just a kind of a sense of what's included. So this is the main dashboard. Each one of these tiles on the dashboard is providing summary information from a report. But then if you click on one of those reports, for instance, if you had clicked on the SharePoint icon or the SharePoint-related reports, it brings you to a more detailed report for that particular service area. So, you know, it is, like I said, I apologize, it's a little blurry, but this gives you a breakout of OneDrive usage, you know, how many people are collaborating using their OneDrive site. It breaks it out two different ways. Is there single person collaboration, in other words, only the owner is interacting with a particular file on their OneDrive. And then the shorter blue bar here is if somebody shared a file from their OneDrive to somebody else in the organization. Right, so that's collaborating with others. So, you know, this is an interesting trend to look at over time, right? Is in this screenshot, it actually is kind of declining a little bit. This might be a partial month, but you might want to look at that and look for opportunities to do some training or awareness activities to try and drive up multi-user collaboration on OneDrive. And I'm sure Sean will talk about how that works in the product later.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Yep.
So this is everything on Office 365. If you had a hybrid environment where you were connecting to SharePoint 2013, could you pull that in here as well?
Yeah, so this is not going to see usage data from your on-premises environment, and I'm not aware of any way
so
to pull
that.
So it's
truly just,
Yeah, so this is, the data that this is driving off of is under the hood is the audit log, the unified global audit log that's included in the online product set, and that audit log does not extend to your on-premises environment. But anyway, so same kind of thing just like I explained for OneDrive, same kind of thing for SharePoint sites. And as you would expect, you can see there's kind of an inverse behavior that you can observe here. Most SharePoint sites have multiple people interacting with files on the site as opposed to a single individual. Over here, you can get a look at how many files are being synced out of your OneDrive environment to local computers and so on. This view, adoption by region, will be especially valuable to those, you know, geo-distributed, you know, large global organizations. JLL, for instance, I know you've got properties all over the United States and world, perhaps. You've got property managers in those different building locations. You know, this graph, you'd be able to drill down and just zoom in down to the city level and be able to see, you know, where the usage is coming from within your tenant. So that's kind of a neat thing. The last point that I wanted to highlight is that these reports are customizable. So the content pack comes pre-configured with a whole realm of reports for all the services. Now, I mentioned at the very start that your executive sponsor might be somebody you want to target this to. You might also think about not overwhelming them, right? So it's very easy to subtractively customize the reports, right? You don't have to be any kind of a Power BI expert. And in fact, in the video, they show this concept of subtractive customization. Start with one of the canned pre-configured reports and then remove the information that would just be noise for that target audience person, that executive, and give them a very simplified view of the data and save it off as a new report and then share that executive eyes only kind of report out to the executive. So in the screenshot here, if you've never used Power BI before, what you're seeing is the visualization and data selection panel that happens on the side here. So for each one of these rectangular areas, when you click on them, you'll see a different set of values over here. And it's really to just unselect and remove things and simplify the report.
Is this just a regular Power BI or the advanced?
So this is only relying on the regular Power BI. Yeah. So that's it for that topic. So Michael, are you ready? I'll hand it back to you.
Yes.
Okay, so the other event that I wanted to remind you guys about, it was SharePoint Saturday, which was May 20th. Who here had a chance to go to that? A few of you. Excellent. Okay, so for those of you who missed it, there were many sessions there. One of them was mine. I did an overview of Office 365, and that is now, I recorded that, and that's available online in Channel 9. So if you're interested in seeing that, it's about 45 minutes long, and it's there for anyone who's interested. And it's really geared toward a not particularly technical audience, so feel free to share that widely. Number of upcoming events. There is the Digital Workplace Experience Conference coming to the Radisson Blue Aqua Hotel down here. You can get this postcard about it. And that's June 19th, 21st. So that if you're interested in
Michael,
that, yep.
He's opening the door. There's somebody, I think they want to come here for us.
So the Digital Workplace Experience Conference. Then our next meeting will be August 3rd, and we'll meet in Downers Grove or that vicinity. And then Microsoft Ignite will be in Florida. How many of you, well, I see at least one of you went to Ignite in previous year. I recognize the backpack.
Yep.
So how many of you have been to Ignite before? So last year's Ignite, the bulk of the sessions were Office 365 related. If you can work it out with your schedule, I would strongly encourage you to come to Ignite. So that's in Florida at the end of September, and then shortly thereafter we will have another meeting downtown here, quite possibly here again. And I think at that point, probably our most likely topic for that will be a recap of what the things they announced at Ignite. And then our next meeting after October will be December, and we will do our special event at SharePoint Fest, where we have done panel discussions for the last, I don't know, 5 years or so.
And a spoiler, last year we were at the event, we actually gave away two tickets to SharePoint Fest.
Yep. So
they supplied. So those who came that night before the fest started, two people walked away with tickets to the event. So
worth your time. Plus, the panelists are speakers from the event. And now, I'm going to turn it over to Sean.